Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live. I'm Jason Powell. I'm going to warn you guys right off the top. I am heavily medicated today. I have come down with a very serious illness known as the common cold. And so if I sound rougher than usual, that's probably why. If I say dumb things, we'll just blame the cold medication. I'm feeling pretty good. I think a lesser man would have sat this one out. Did I mention I'm a huge baby when I get sick? So, you're going to have to put up with me. And I will be carried through this show by my guest today, John Moore, who is going to be joining me in just a little bit. He is a ProWrestling.net staffer. He covers NXT, amongst other things, for ProWrestling.net. And he was at last night's WWE TLC pay-per-view. We'll be talking about the TLC show. We can discuss Ring of Honor Final Battle. If you have anything spoiler-related coming out of the ROH TV tapings, all I ask is that you give people a friendly warning in case they want to see it all play out. It's a little tougher with those because everything takes so damn long to reach ROH television. But I'm sure there's somebody out there trying to avoid the spoilers on those things. We can talk about MLW Fusion, which had its live broadcast on Friday night. I didn't get to see it until Saturday. I saw the YouTube version. But so much to talk about, and of course, tonight on Raw, Vince McMahon appearing with the promise of shaking things up. So does that mean we have a superstar shakeup in the works? Does that mean it's just a tease for that, and really it's not going to be much of anything other than Baron Corbin, you're fired? We'll see. Let's find out what .NET staffer John Moore thinks is going to happen. John, welcome to ProWrestling.net Live.
Hello, it's good to be back on .NET Live.
Well, let's start with Vince McMahon. What are you expecting tonight? Are we getting a full-on superstar shakeup? Is this much ado about nothing? What's happening here?
I mean, the superstar shakeup will make the most sense because, he could go up there and fire Baron Corbin, but wouldn't you assume Baron Corbin's already fired because of the stipulation of last night's match? So that would have been because they're acknowledging that Raw is bad now and that they're trying to do some sort of reboot or something. But I wouldn't just, I hope they don't waste their time and continuing the badness with like this instead of a shakeup announcement.
And John, you were at the show last night. Jake Barnett and I discussed it for over an hour for .NET members on our usual WWE pay-per-view audio review. We both gave the show a good solid B. What did you settle in on?
B minus, maybe C plus. Around the same, but at the same time, I've been a little bit fatigued with live events recently because I went to... just because when you go to several live events happening weeks after each other, you can't help but compare them. So, like, I went to NXT, a couple of them, a couple weeks ago, Impact Wrestling one, last week or 2 weeks, I forget, and TLC. So there was that fatigue, and when you're at TLC, you can feel that fatigue even more because there's a lot of matches that feel like you're sitting here during a Raw or sitting here during filler time. And, so it was those matches that were kind of forgettable, like the Natalya tables match, and sadly, the Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose match that pulled things down a bit.
Yeah, that really dragged, didn't it? Hey, folks, if you want to join us today, we do have a couple people lined up in the queue. You can call us. The number is 773-897-6321. If you're on hold and you want to, and you're hoping to get on, all you have to do is press 1. That lets us know that you want to join in on the conversation. Before we get to our first caller, I do want to give you guys a quick heads up about the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. It's my free weekly audio show. Oftentimes it has a guest from the world of wrestling. Some of the recent guests have included Conan, Dave Lagana, Court Bauer, David McClain of WOW and Glow fame, NWA champion Nick Aldis, and the list goes on. And this week, I'll tell you guys here, I will be joined by the newest ProWrestling.net staffer, Nick Perkins. We figure it's going to be a kind of a busy week with Vince McMahon, whatever he's doing. So Nick and I will be discussing that on the Boom podcast. We'll get to know Nick and obviously talk about what's been already a busy weekend and now what may be a busy week in pro wrestling. If you are interested in listening to the Boom, and you should be, it's free and it's good. if I do say so myself, check it out. Just look, do a search for Pro Wrestling Boom on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. I listen on Downcast, for instance, and so it's available there. Stitcher, all over the place. But again, just do a search for Pro Wrestling Boom. All right, with that business out of the way, let's get to the phone lines. We'll start today with 317. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
This is Aaron, and I'm calling from Indiana. How's it going?
Doing well, Aaron. What's going on in Indiana today?
It's cold. Not super cold. We're actually mild today. It's in the 40s.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in Minnesota, and for this time of year, no complaints. But enough weather talk, but plus then we'd have to hear from John. We don't want to know what it's like in California, John. So, Aaron, what's going on in the world of wrestling with you?
So I got a couple things. First off, you briefly mentioned the Natalya Ruby Riott match. I actually didn't watch it. I skipped that match. You've mentioned it in your hit list that I read a little bit ago. Whoever has – it doesn't really matter who signed off on this complete just cash grab, I would say, of Jim Neidhart's death should be nowhere near a pro wrestling storyline ever again.
You don't get it. The family probably approved, and so it's okay. I get that.
No, it doesn't. And they've done this exploitation before, and I've condemned it before. You know, they did it with Eddie Guerrero's death. I condemned it then. And I condemn the whole, usage of Roman Reigns' leukemia. That's been in poor taste. I was okay with the initial Dean Ambrose heel turn on the night that he announced the leukemia, because it got, I was okay with that. But to continue to exploit it after that, you don't need that. That feud was good enough to not need that. And I agree with both of you. The match with Reigns and Ambrose, my God.
Rollins and Ambrose, yeah.
That thing dragged. That thing really, really dragged. What I am curious, though, about tonight with Vince, I'm curious how panicked they really are with the ratings. Because now for some, now since they gone off the deep end and told us the show we've been watching sucks, which makes no sense at all. I'm wondering, do you think they might jump the gun, so to speak? I feel like they kind of foreshadowed it a little bit. Do you think they could move Becky Lynch to Raw?
That's a good question. John, I will turn things over to you to start. I definitely have my opinion on this, but you take it first.
Yeah, I would think that's a huge possibility. Personally, I don't want to see Becky Lynch on Raw. But that's usually going into my typical, I don't want to see anyone appear on Raw, because Raw historically hasn't utilized people in the best way possible. I mean, this 180 huge example recently is look at R-Truth on Raw and look at him on SmackDown. He's still goofy and all that stuff on SmackDown, but he's being utilized in a very efficient way. Whereas Raw has that WWE main event show, and if you get defined as a WWE main event person, you don't get seen on television again. Same thing with the women's division. If you get defined down in any sort of way, you get defined down. But I think that it's a good chance that they send, that there's a possible chance that they send Becky to Raw, but I think they might keep her on SmackDown to maybe have her win the Royal Rumble and get to Ronda Rousey that way. If they want to rush to it, yes, but I don't think they're going to rush to it. I think they want to save it for something like, not the Rumble, but WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'm leaning toward Becky stays. I do think either Charlotte or Becky move to Raw if there's a shakeup. I mean, we don't even know. We may look back on this show and go, well, that was a huge waste of time because they didn't even announce a shakeup. But if there is, then I could see Charlotte being moved over, because everything points to them doing Charlotte and Ronda first. And that way, as John said, Becky can win, she can stay on SmackDown and win the Rumble and then choose to challenge Ronda Rousey for that championship. So, I mean, if they want to move her over and have her on the same brand and get to that match another way, they can. But that's just how I lean. But I do think, one way or another, Becky Lynch is in that match with Ronda Rousey. For me, the bigger question is, is it a singles match, or do they add Charlotte Flair? And I'm just not sure, Aaron. Did you have more for us?
Yeah, so kind of piggybacking off of that, I agree with you guys. I think Becky should stay on SmackDown. And I said this to a couple of friends of mine last night. I think if Becky Lynch is not in the main event of WrestleMania next year, it's an absolute travesty. I will compare her popularity this year, in my opinion, I could be way off base, to the popularity and rise in popularity of Daniel Bryan leading into WrestleMania 30. She is on fire, and I really think if she's not main eventing WrestleMania next year, it's an absolute travesty. Get your guys' thoughts on that.
For me, it comes down to what else they have. I think she certainly belongs there. You know, if they want it, whether, again, it's a triple threat or straight up with Ronda Rousey, and I'm sure WWE would love to be able to push that, you know, for the first time ever, a women's match in the main event of WrestleMania. I applaud them for not going overboard and making a big production out of the first time ever last night, TLC, women and all that. They kept themselves in check. I guess when I say what else they have, do they have Dwayne Johnson coming back? Is The Rock coming back? Is there a high-profile match for him? Does it turn out to be Undertaker's last ride? There's certainly been some speculation that he may come back for one more match at WrestleMania. It's Undertaker. Could turn out to be more than one match. But if they're going to market it that way, if this is the end of Undertaker one more time and they want to close the show with that, I'm going to be understanding. So there's, for me, yeah, John, I think she belongs there, but I do leave the door open that, hey, it's a really high-profile match, and in another year, if we didn't have The Rock or it wasn't Undertaker's last ride, we would have gone with that. But, you know, we decided to go with one of the other matches just because we felt like it was a better fit for the end of the show. Where do you stand on that?
Oh, yeah, I mean, of course, like, say, if they get Dave Bautista, they're not going to throw him in the main event, despite how successful Avengers Endgame is going to be. But, no, let's say if they get Dwayne Johnson, I can see them doing Brock versus Rock in the main event at WrestleMania, which should be fine. But Becky, Charlotte, Ronda Rousey, that's the best homegrown feud that WWE has going at the moment. So that's the one I think that they should run with, more specifically Ronda versus Becky.
And Aaron, do you have more?
Yeah, so, you know, assuming, you know, maybe they don't do a superstar shakeup tonight, which, I mean, to me, why would you, you know, use the term shakes things up if you're not going to do that? But another thing they kind of hinted at last night was naming a new general manager. Do you think Kurt Angle just goes right back into that, or do you think they're going to put somebody else in there, or do you think they might leave that spot just vacant? I would love for it not to be a heel authority figure, because that crap's getting really old. But
right.
Maybe your thoughts on that.
Sure. Yeah. For me, John, it comes down to it doesn't matter who it is so much as, again, it's not the heel authority figure. And part of that, like, if they want it to be Kurt Angle, if they feel like there's some feel-good value in bringing him back, I think something Vince McMahon needs to say tonight is that he has an ironclad contract. So basically, Stephanie McMahon can't just show up and you have the whole heel authority figure thing happening again. I think it's a big part of the problem right now with WWE television. I think people are just fed up with the whole heel authority figure thing. It's not just Baron Corbin. It's that the concept is tired. It's dull. I think people are just ready to move on. And so, I mean, Kurt Angle isn't the sexiest name just because they made him look like such a sad sack the last time. But if they do it, I'm okay with it again, as long as it's not just going to be a repeat. Or if it's someone other than Kurt Angle, it just can't be, well, but they're under Steph's thumb and they're going to ultimately have to do what she says. That just doesn't make for good television.
The problem with the WWE heel authority figure is the fact that it's been so formulaic for years. Because there is a way to make the heel authority figure work if you do it in a different way. The example I always point out is Dario Cueto, but he's just unique and very different in his own universe. But I did want to throw one name that I wouldn't mind seeing, only just based on what I've been seeing on 205 Live. And see, I'm reaching into the 205 Live manager barrel again. One name I wouldn't mind seeing as a heel authority figure on Raw, if they ever consider it, because I know this person has all the talent in the world, Maria Kanellis. Is, she can, if they give her a spotlight on Raw, I feel like she can conquer any sort of bad booking. But I think that they're going to go possibly back with Kurt Angle. I don't think they're going to go back to Mick Foley, but Kurt Angle makes the most sense, especially since they gave him the big spotlight last night.
Yeah, I really thought Maria did a terrific job in Impact Wrestling. I haven't kept up on everything in Lucha Underground or 205 Live. I guess she wasn't in Lucha Underground, but I haven't kept up on 205 Live. But I just don't know that they see her in that light. I, for whatever reason, yeah, they've come in. She and Mike came in with the whimper. And I know he had a substance issue that fortunately he addressed, and good for him for that. And then she had the pregnancy and was gone for a while. I mean, it would be one way to kind of launch them if you did it, but I'm just ready for a break from the whole nonsensical heel authority figure thing. So I hope it's not, but she is an underutilized talent. She's a really good talker. Aaron, do you have more?
Yeah, so let's just shake that. Can we just have Vince come out and just give the tag titles to the Revival? Can we just do that? I mean, you guys talked about underutilized, and yes, I think Maria is underutilized, but by God, between the Revival and then if anybody can explain to me what on earth they are doing with the Miz and the World Cup trophy nonsense, if anybody could explain that to me, I would greatly appreciate where that might be going, if it's anywhere worthwhile.
Yeah, well, very good, and I appreciate you calling, man. Thank you so much. John, I guess the Revival, I'm hoping Rude and Gable are just transitional champions.
Yeah.
That, you know, the plan is to just quickly get the titles on the Revival, and maybe Seth was foreshadowing that with by mentioning them in his promo. Problem is, who do they feud with? I mean, if there's a shakeup, you can move the Usos or New Day over or something like that. I'm not saying you can't find anybody, but the point is that they've just damaged the division so greatly, especially, you know, the Raw side especially. SmackDown, you had the three top teams competing in a triple threat last night, and their idea of making the match feel special was on the go-home show to do a rap battle, something you could have done any other week, but they felt the need to do a rap battle. I didn't care about that match. I didn't care. I mean, and it was a well-worked match. I didn't care who won. Everyone involved has held the title. It just was, I was really numb to it. And I didn't anticipate that going in. It's just, I couldn't shake that feeling while watching it. So I'm all for doing more with the Revival, John, but I just do worry that unless Vince changes his ways when it comes to the way he just neglects the tag division, that, yeah, it can be a nice moment when if they do get end up winning the tag titles. But it really just comes down to Vince needs to start to care about tag team wrestling again.
And the thing is, you have 3 hours of television to do so. You know, sometimes maybe SmackDown can come up with an excuse that they only have 2 hours. But only 2 hours, that's not an excuse. They do what they can. And it's more so that they don't really put any focus on the tag team division to begin with. And when they do, you get some weird, wacky stuff like AOPP, whatever the hell that was.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, so... Yeah, so if they put so the best thing for almost everyone is if you break up Rude and Gable and have Bobby Roode be a dastardly upper Midgard to possible main event heel, he has it in him to be a main event heel. They define him as Mr. Glorious, but you have him break off. You have give Chad Gable a chance to shine in the singles because he always does every little moment that they give him. Put the belts on the Revival, maybe have them feud with Authors of Pain because to do what they've been doing on SmackDown, you know, just have them just run it dry, I guess, until you can somehow fix the tag division, bring a team over, call a team up from NXT. But the only way that we'll see them taken seriously is if they really put a focus on the tag team division. The SmackDown division has been solid because despite them being somewhat in cruise control, the New Day and Usos have been able to put on good matches every time they've been in the ring together. But last night, there was that feeling that we were watching yet another triple threat between the same three teams on a SmackDown.
Do you remember the second part of Aaron's question? I just heard tag team, and I just lost my mind and went on a rant.
Miz and Shane McMahon.
Oh, yeah. I have nothing. I mean, I assume it's just going to lead to a match between the two, but I haven't enjoyed it. I thought they were doing really good things with Miz, and he was on course to be a main event player where maybe he doesn't win the WWE Championship, but had you given him a match with AJ Styles when AJ was champion, you could build him up in a way where, with the right win over somebody meaningful, a clean win, like Miz feels like a threat to actually, you know, go in there and win a match, and not just like, oh, he's going to do the cheating thing. But he has slipped so far back into over-the-top pest heel mode that it's become a turnoff. I wrote my hit list last week. It's my least favorite storyline on SmackDown. Am I being too harsh on this, John?
No, I could imagine it being annoying. I get a kick out of it in a way, not because it's good or anything. It's because I don't have the same love for Shane McMahon as Will Pruitt does, but I do love the chance when I get to see bad Shane McMahon punches because it is so bad and that it's hilarious. But no,
well, how about that DDT or whatever it was?
Oh, yeah, where he kind of fell on his back. Yeah, that was weird. He's usually good at DDTs though. It's the punches that are always bad. But yeah, that float over was terrible. But no, so Miz, yeah, I am disappointed the way you're totally right. He is in a disappointing spot right now. But I trust in Miz because the way it works is like it's like an on and off switch with him. I believe when he does take things seriously and when he does turn on the on switch, he can turn things around and up into a more serious level. But yeah, it's just a matter of when he turns on that switch and whether he does. He's not going to do it with Shane McMahon, I don't think.
Just to reset things, I'm Jason Powell. He is John Moore. This is ProWrestling.net Live. We are here the Mondays after WWE pay-per-view events. John is actually filling in for Will Pruitt, who normally joins me as a co-host of this show. Will is at a holiday party, hopefully drunk and making a fool of himself. I wanted him to call in drunk from his boss's office, but he declined. Well, maybe he'll surprise us and call in drunk from his boss's office. But I listed in the description for this show that the next show would be the day after the Royal Rumble, and it may be, but we've been known to do day of, a pre-show for some of the major events, and so that is possible. Just stay tuned. I will be passing along details on ProWrestling.net as we move a little closer. I don't want to commit to something and not be able to do it, but I think there's a decent chance that we'll have a Royal Rumble Sunday pre-show, maybe a couple of hours before the kickoff show begins. They've made it tough, though, with these never-ending kickoff shows for the big four pay-per-views that start at like 4 my time now, I think it is. It's kind of crazy, but more details to come on that in the weeks ahead. But let's go to, oh, and I should also point out, you want to join us, 773-897-6321 is the number to call if you're listening online. And once you do call in, and once you're on hold, hit 1. That lets us know that you want to join in the conversation. I see a lot of people right now in listen-only mode, which is fine. But unless you are our next caller, 423, we don't know that you want to talk to us. So if you are one of those people and you're looking to chat, hit 1 on your phone. But let's go to 423. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason. It's Ian from Tennessee.
Ian, nice to hear from you, man. What's going on?
Hey, pretty good. I liked the show last night. I think everything that I voted on was well in line with what the poll came out to. Do you happen to know what city Raw is in tonight?
Oh, John, you might know.
Yes, Sacramento.
John's our California guy. He knows these things.
So I'm sure this has been brought up a few times, but, you know, with Vince coming out and the fans like us and you know, I'm guessing, you know, some casual fans too know why the show sucks. When Vince comes out and they cheer him and do the, you know, we're not worthy bow and all that. I mean, that's, you know, he's getting the idea that it doesn't really matter what he does, that when he comes out, you know, nobody's really going to give him any pushback. Do you think that that's something that should happen? Because if not, I mean, what good does all of our complaining online do if we can't even back it up?
I mean, I know what you're saying. Vince is always going to get that. He's the man who gives us WWE positive reaction. You know, I mean, barring him doing something super heelish that, you know, from a storyline standpoint that really gets people going, they're always excited to see him. There have been times where he's made too many appearances and didn't really have much to say. But otherwise, like when they save Vince's appearances for times like this, people know something big is coming. They don't know what it is, or they suspect anyway, and it's up to them to deliver something big with Vince. So, I mean, I totally get what you're saying, that there's a lot of frustration when it comes to the state of Raw, which, I mean, Vince acknowledged through Seth Rollins awkwardly last week with him saying the show sucks, and he acknowledged the record low ratings and all of those things, and they blame, you know, Baron Corbin's character for it. So, I mean, I get it. I just, should people boo Vince McMahon? I mean, I don't know if you're upset with the state of Raw. Bring a sign or something. But I mean, I think, Ian, that they know, based on what we heard from Seth Rollins' character last week. I mean, I'm not going to tell people you should go there and boo Vince McMahon, but I'm not going to tell people they shouldn't either. John, how do you feel about this one?
Yeah, I think a quiet reaction would be more telling. A boo would almost be like, oh, cool. Oh, it's awesome. Vince is drawing heat. My favorite, like, no reaction at one point was back in the early NXT days when they were, like, pushing Bo Dallas as this, like, huge baby face and no one wanted it. So, Full Sail would just, a bunch of them would just stand up and turn their backs and, take over the show that way. So, yeah, if everyone should just, like, stand up and turn their back at Vince or something, I don't know. But, no, I do like that they're acknowledging that Raw is not good and they are, breaking the emergency glass, and they're signifying some sort of reset. Whether or not they actually reset or this reset turns out to be good is another story that we'll know 2 months from now or something, but it's good that they're acknowledging it. I don't think booze would really sway them one way or another.
So, Ian, if you were in Tennessee, or I'm not Tennessee, you're in Tennessee, but if you were in Sacramento tonight, what would you do when Vince McMahon came on?
I probably wouldn't even be there, honestly.
You just wouldn't go?
No, probably not, because, you know, I've got to a point as a fan that, you know, you can tell me you're going to shake things up and move people around on the rosters, but, I mean, does that really fix anything? Honestly?
And that's coming from you, because I know you've gone to a lot of events, because you've sent in a lot of live event reports, and so you've kind of reached that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I love the product, and, you know, I'm one of those wrestling fans that other pure wrestling fans hate, that wrestling is WWE. I'll watch, you know, New Japan and stuff whenever I can, but it's not on my list. But
sure.
I'm just burnt out. I zone out. Raw an hour and a half into it and finish it in 45 minutes. It's just,
wow.
SmackDown is great.
I wish the shakeup tonight was Vince going, we don't need this extra hour. It's not going to happen because he makes too much money from it. But I sure wish it was. Do you have other questions for us, Ian?
No, I appreciate it. I just wanted to try to call in. I've got a reduced work schedule, so just thought I'd say hello. I haven't called in quite some time.
Yeah, man, it's great to hear from you. I hope we hear from you more often, and enjoy the reduced work schedule. I hope that just means you get some nice, relaxing holiday downtime.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you much.
All right. Take care, man. All right, everybody. The number to call, we have open phone lines now, is 84. Oh, that's not the right number. It is 773. I told you, cold medication. 773-897-6321. And press 1 on your phone if you're on hold. That lets us know you want to join the show. Before we get to some questions that were submitted via Twitter, I do want to tell you guys about ProWrestling.net membership. The members are listening to the audio review that I did on Friday night of Ring of Honor Final Battle. I think I talked for 50 minutes, a lot to talk about in that solo audio show. Plus, the review of TLC that Jake Barnett and I recorded after the show last night. Over 60 minutes, the members are going to hear my audio review of Raw later on tonight. voice, if the voice holds up. Tuesday SmackDown on Tuesday night as well. John reviews the NXT show in audio form. Lucha Underground when it's in season. We have audio reviews of Ring of Honor from Hayden Gleed. The NXT UK shows from Hayden and Darren Gutteridge. I also review the Impact show in audio form. Coming up, we'll have audio reviews, of course, of the New Japan Wrestle Kingdom show, Impact Wrestling Homecoming. So it's not just WWE. We cover as much as we can in audio form. And there's over a decade of audio content that you can unlock once you sign up for membership, along with a decade of all the written material that we've done. All you have to do is visit pwaudio.net. Again, it's pwaudio.net. With open phone lines, we'll go to Twitter and email questions. The first one is my personal favorite of the day. It comes from Paul McQueen, who asks, who is this Johnny Fairplay character, and why is he always on your show talking about reality television shows? John, I have no idea who this person is that he's referring to.
Might be that Survivor guy? I don't, or was that Johnny Impact? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. No, Fairplay's a friend. Fairplay's been in the business, and yes, he has been on Survivor multiple times. He once had his ass kicked by Yao Man, which is something that I will never let him forget. It was a classic moment. He likes to think of the dead grandma moment as the greatest moment in Survivor history. For me, it was when Yao Man kicked his ass his second visit on the show. I don't even remember the circumstances. I think they were both going for something under a boat or something. I've got to look it up on YouTube because it made me laugh.
No, I was going to say, I was at an indie show recently, and I was talking with, I heard Brian Cage beat him up one time, too.
He did, yes. They were working an indie show, and Cage informed him, in the ring, you're going up for a powerbomb. And Fairplay didn't want to go up for a powerbomb, and Cage let him know he was going up for it either way. And he took the powerbomb. I don't think you have much say when Brian Cage tells you, hey, you're going to do this. It pretty much just happens. I think in that one, as much as I'd like to harass Johnny Fairplay about it, I think he was concussed. So I don't, I do feel a little bad for him about that one, to a point, because of Johnny Fairplay. But at any rate, Cody Garza asks, with Asuka winning at TLC, can the Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey feud still be a good one despite Becky not having the SmackDown Women's Championship? For me, John, I think it makes it better because now we don't have to worry about, two champions, there's going to be a schmoz finish. Now you can actually get a decisive finish.
Yeah, and at the same time, you can have Asuka doing other things with different people on SmackDown. I think it's a benefit to have Becky without the SmackDown Championship.
Yeah, and so we burned through, that was it. We really didn't, check email. There may have been some that came in through the show. But I want to talk to you about your experience in person last night at TLC and also work into some of the Final Battle stuff. It was an interesting weekend for Ring of Honor, to say the least. But for you last night, we went through your grade and everything. The caller, I believe it was Aaron, who brought up the popularity of Becky Lynch, compared it to Daniel Bryan. I'm sure you were there to see Daniel Bryan at some point during the peak of his Yes run. Does it compare, having been there in person for this and other WWE events?
Oh, yeah. I didn't think of that comparison, but as far as people reaction, there is some comparison where people just, there was this undying love at one point for Daniel Bryan. Now there's undying love for Becky Lynch. We're going into like that triple threat. One example, I just did like in the same city a couple weeks ago at the NXT show. Anytime Becky Lynch would pop up on the television for that weird Marine commercial, she would get huge pops from, like, say, the San Jose crowd at the house show. Same thing last night when they would air the Marine commercial, she would get a huge pop. She'd pop up for vignettes, huge pop. Anything that she does in the ladder match, the TLC match, a huge pop. And despite Asuka also being very popular as well, people just love Becky Lynch because, she's the hottest thing in WWE going right now, and I can see that Daniel Bryan comparison.
Who was there anyone that came close to Becky Lynch in terms of popularity?
Let's see. I can't think of it. It's probably no. It's the Kurt Angle got a huge pop, and Asuka got a lot of cheers when she was going for this, she was about to win the title. But Becky Lynch had the most consistently throughout the show. Like I said, way more than say, Ronda Rousey, because Ronda Rousey was getting some hate due to her being in opposition to Becky Lynch. So, yeah, I would say Becky Lynch was the most popular thing throughout the night.
And about Ronda. So she comes out, tips over the ladder with Charlotte and Becky on it, costs them the match. Asuka ends up winning the women's championship that way. It seemed like, now you were there, you correct me if I'm wrong, it seemed like Ronda had pockets of fans here and there during her match that weren't pro-Ronda necessarily, but it was by and large a pro-Ronda crowd. But I know I heard some boos for Ronda tipping over the ladder. How significant was it?
It was pretty loud, but I chalked that more up to, because it was more so anyone who was doing anything bad to Becky Lynch would get boos. That's what I chalked it up more to, that more than people hating on Ronda for, being like heelish or anything.
And how about Charlotte? Because she's been, to this day, I don't know what she is. Is she a heel? Is she a babyface? But how did the crowd react to her?
Okay, so Charlotte, I'm not sure if it came off on television, got a pretty much heel reaction, with the exception of the fact that wrestling fans, no matter what, love to woo. That's the thing of wrestling shows. There's unlimited woos. So it wasn't a huge boo, like negative reaction. The one negative moment, so when Charlotte was making a play towards the belt and it looked like she was about to become the champion, everyone was like, no, that's when the nose chant started. That's when the boos started raining. And I only say that when you compare it to, say, Asuka, who got 100% cheers from everyone. When Charlotte was making a play for the belt, it was all negative. So I would say that people still see Charlotte as a heel, but there still is that apprehensiveness, like, what are we supposed to think?
Yeah, I just wish they would pick a direction with this, and I know, Shades of Grey, all that nonsense.
Yeah.
There's times where I think it does work, but I'm just a believer in baby faces and heels. I just think it you can have Shades of Grey within a babyface or a heel's personality, but I think it just makes the wrestling business so much easier to book and just in general when you have definitive babyfaces and heels. And I know there'll be people who push back on that, but that's my belief in most cases. And I just think with Charlotte, pick a direction. I hope it's heel because I think she's more comfortable in that role. I think fans want to react to her in that role, but you're not making it easy when you just kind of do this in the middle stuff. It seems like she's leaning that way, but they really don't seem to do turns anymore. So we'll see. Watching that match in person, who did you come away feeling if there was an MVP? I've said, watching it on television, I felt like the triple threat, the MVP was Charlotte. And Jake Barnett in audio last night made a good point that, she did have a lot of the big spots laid out for her to perform, too. So that may have had something to do with it. But in person, what was your perception of that?
I would agree that Charlotte was probably the MVP of the match because she seemed to be involved with everything. And she didn't do anything awkward, terrible, or bad. It was pretty exciting throughout. So I would say it's Charlotte just because she just seemed to have her hands in everything and did everything in a pretty good way.
And you told me behind the which broadcast team were you by? How close were you to that big table spot?
Yeah, so that's why. No, I was in the first row of non-VIP seats, so that's like row 7 on the floor. Behind, and I could see the back of Corey Graves' head. So I was right behind Corey Graves.
I mean, come on.
Nah, I know. when you get those chairs that come with it that people sell for $200 out in front. I got to have a good view of the table spot. But I didn't see exactly where, because, there are people in the way. So, I didn't get as good a view as, like, the landing and the impact.
Yeah, I watched it back a few times now, and I can't tell if Becky's backside actually hit the table and therefore kind of saved Charlotte to some extent, or if it was just as brutal as it looked the first time. It's really tough to say. But kind of switching over to Final Battle, I've made the point, too, that I don't know what surprised me more, that Charlotte got up and was able to continue working at a high level after that spot, or Matt Taven, who did this dive over the top rope and landed chest first on the barricade and then got up and seemed to be okay. I mean, hopefully everyone involved in both of those spots is okay. But, John, that was brutal.
I know, and you're glad it's like not the back or a place that could be more sensitive. Matt Taven might have just ran through the rest of the match on adrenaline, because it hurt to let at the moment, and it'll be extremely painful like an hour later.
Without getting into anything spoiler-related from the tapings, he was there, and I don't recall if he had a match or not, but, I mean, he was able to at least go out there and do his thing. I think they did, but I don't know. I mean, it seems like he avoided major injury, which is great. But what did you think of Final Battle? I haven't really talked to you about this yet. I know, you know, you watched the show, but I haven't really heard what your thoughts were.
I thought it was a really good show, just top to bottom. To the point where I didn't like Ladder Wars as much, because like a lot of the stuff before it was it was really good. So it was a good show overall.
What didn't you like about Ladder Wars?
No, I mean, it's not like I didn't like Ladder Wars. It was like, oh, it's another Ladder Wars match. There was nothing that really stood. It was because, I mean, what took it back was because I liked the flip versus Bully Ray match so much, and I thought that match told a better story with hardcore spots and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the thing that was kind of missing from this year. I guess Ladder War. I think we're both mispronouncing it, but you had the big, you know. So just to compare the TLC match, not the Strowman one, but the women's, and then what they did in ROH for Ladder War, I was more invested in the outcome as far as. And it wasn't because I assumed that Kazarian and Scorpio and the Bucks were all leaving, and so the Briscoes would win. They didn't really set up to take you on a journey. There wasn't, you know, some of it too is like everyone involved, kind of like what I talk about with the SmackDown tag title match. Everyone involved been champions. We've seen the Briscoes win those titles a lot. You can still overcome that if you tell the right story and you give fans a reason why they should want to see this team win or not see this team, another team win, that sort of a thing. And with the women's match, you know, Becky is super over. She has this strong rivalry with Charlotte. With Asuka, you know, it's just kind of nice to see her back in the mix, and people know how talented she is and just how misused she's been since WrestleMania. You had actual, like, emotion in that match that I think that just played so much better than, hey, here's a match that should be really good in Ring of Honor because these guys are all, you know, they'll do crazy spots and it's going to be this wild ladder match. That was my feeling watching. It was like, yeah, I mean, everybody's working hard. They did their damnedest, and it ended up being entertaining for what it was, but it was just missing, as you said, storytelling. There really wasn't a hook for it.
Yeah, and you compare that to the match that was two matches before that had plenty of storytelling and took you on a roller coaster, and you really cared about the journey of Flip Gordon, especially if you've been following him dating, like just from the beginning of the storyline with like Flip is all out and all that good stuff that happened back then.
Yeah, and in fact, there is, I posted on the site today, there is a new Being the Elite video that kind of chronicles the end of their run with Ring of Honor from over the weekend. It's not just, you know, some cue up the Green Day song. It's not all emotional or anything like that, but they certainly talk a little bit about, you know, wrapping up there, but then it's done in, you know, typical Elite style, and there's some fun things in there as well. The closing line was certainly interesting with Matt Jackson. I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it in front of me, but it was basically, let's go change the world. So, I mean, if that's not a hint to All Elite Wrestling becoming a reality, John, I don't know what is.
Oh, yeah. Some people will say, oh, no, he said world. It's World Wrestling Entertainment. No, I think it's a good hint for that they're going to be doing something with All Elite Wrestling, and Looking forward to see how that ends up.
Yeah, of course. I mean, because, look, this thing, if they don't find the right television or streaming deal, and maybe they do end up in WWE. Who knows? But if things go according to plan, I mean, they're certainly doing another, you know, all-out show now, I think is what they're going to call it instead of All In, because I think ROH has the naming rights or something like that. But everything pointing to Las Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena is what the rumblings have been. And if that's true, that's a major place, man. That WWE just ran SmackDown there last week. That is a newer venue within the last couple of years, a huge venue. And Memorial Day weekend is, I would imagine, you're going to get StarCast 2 and all of that. So we know they're, you know, they're at least doing that much. And I think there'll be an official announcement sometime in early January about that show, and that's cool. But, yeah, once I'm so curious to see what happens with the All Elite Wrestling Project. If they do find a television partner, I mean, Turner has certainly been rumored. We don't know if it's Turner the network to air on, you know, TBS or TNT, or if, it's, well, Turner's doing their own streaming thing and they want to make this a big anchor of that. At any rate, you know, I would hope it's television. I still have questions about the long-term viability of some of these streaming services. Like, John, I mean, if you get on Netflix or Amazon, you know, some Hulu, something like that. Now, those are kind of tried and true. They've been around forever. And so that's different. But some of the smaller ones, it just feels like there's an abundance of everyone's trying to get in on this. And, I mean, if they're willing to pay great money for a couple years up front, that's cool. But what if, even if you do right by them, there's no guarantee that they're going to be stable enough, that they're going to end up being one of those streaming services that actually clicks. So I worry about that a little bit. But, I mean, if it's – but it'll pay us great for 2 years and we'll worry about it later, I'm going to understand.
Yeah, but it still will hurt visibility of the product.
Absolutely.
You know, that's why you talk about all the various pro wrestling streaming service that are popular because WWE Network was so successful, and it's the same thing because Netflix and Hulu was so successful. Everyone's like, we want to get on the OTT bandwagon, the over the top bandwagon. So we're going to have a Disney streaming service. We're going to have a DC comic book streaming service. You know, you have Crunchyroll, you have all these other streaming services. It's almost like getting worse than cable. The difference with the streaming service, though, is you can direct yourself to where you want to go. But in that case, like, say, if you get an All Elite Wrestling streaming service or, biggest example, like the Progress Wrestling streaming service is one example where they have a lot of good wrestling on there, but you're not going to have, like, a casual wrestling fan going out there seeking to get the Progress Wrestling streaming service unless like somehow you were really nudged to, whereas like say if Progress were on the WWE network or, you know, and for example, what Lucha Underground was finding for the longest time, Lucha Underground on Netflix, if you were on one of the bigger streaming services, that would give you more, it gives you more accessibility.
Yeah, and it's a shame. You know, Lucha Underground was on there for a couple of years, I think, even. They had two of their seasons on Netflix, and Netflix didn't spotlight it. I remember when it launched going, where is it? And you kind of had to know where to look in order to find it. I think if you're going to get into business with Netflix, I mean, it's great, again, but you're reaching that audience that knows you're there, and some people who do what I do, and even though there's a billion options, go, I can't find anything to watch, and they happen to stumble across it. I do that all the time on Netflix. It's crazy. How spoiled are we now with all these options? And like, there's nothing on. And it's the same thing, though, as you kind of touched on. If they get on a streaming service, even if it's, let's say it's the Turner, or DAZN is a popular thing now. That's they've got all the boxing and stuff like that. And I know they just launched they signed an MMA group. It's again people who know you're there, and you're kind of reliant on them to spread the word. I mean, you know, they would still have the Bucks YouTube page, and it's a new world. You can still direct wrestling fans to it that follow you. Or hope that, you know, like, I mean, DAZN is going crazy. You see the commercial with Michael Buffer and the big name boxer who escapes me at the moment, all, you know, on a regular basis. Now, if you get the right company that's willing to do that, awesome. But otherwise, you know, it's just, it's so much easier when it's a network television show or, you know, a cable network show, because people, it's just so much easier to sample rather than give this commitment. And so that's what I worry about. But I'm really excited to see what these guys do in 2019. The Cody, the Bucks, SCU appears to be part of this because they chose not to re-sign with Ring of Honor. Adam Page, Marty Scurll's going to be sticking around Ring of Honor because his contract still has some time left on it. And I want to see how Ring of Honor bounces back. When it came to, I guess, one of the criticisms of Final Battle that was going around even before the event took place, it's going to be too predictable. And my thing was, let's wait and see how it plays out, because they still have the television taping, and if they wanted to swerve you and have somebody end up winning a match that you expected to lose for a title, they could just turn around and do a title change the next night. None of that happened. They didn't do the people you assumed were going to lose ended up losing. And they did. The other thing was, let's see who debuts, because no secret, they've signed PCO, they've signed Brody King. It didn't happen before Final Battle, but since then, it's come out that they have Ring of Honor signed Bandido. But they didn't debut anyone new at the pay-per-view, and none of those names. It was very much we're wrapping up the 2018 storylines on that show. And so I understand the argument from people that, yeah, it was predictable because the Bullet Club, like now the Elite members, ended up losing. But if I knew going in that's what they're doing, I'd have been like, ooh, mistake. You know, I think this is going to hurt the quality of the show. But you talked about it earlier. It was a good quality show. Would it have been fun to have PCO or Brody King show up? Yes. But I just came away very satisfied with the, well, a little bit longer than it needed to be, 4-hour investment of this broadcast. I thought they did a really nice job. I thought it turned out to be a strong pay-per-view.
Yeah, no, that other view of wanting a PCO, a Brody King to show up, that's a pessimistic type of view of maybe a fan who would have complained no matter what, I don't know. But no, I thought that it was good that they didn't almost like blow their load by trying to overload that show with new debuts, like you're trying to start a new season when this is technically supposed to be like ending, like the last season, the last set of story arcs in Ring of Honor. And all of, like, that's why I can't name, I don't think there was a bad match on that show that I felt like shouldn't have been on this show. I thought I even saw, the Marty Scurll match was the one that didn't hook me as much as it was, but you also had the Isam versus King match, which was pretty solid. I thought I saw Jeff Cobb's best match that I ever saw Jeff Cobb have.
Sure, yeah, you've seen a lot of Jeff Cobb.
Oh, yeah. From Lucha Underground, and he does the California Indies, and that was probably one of the best matches. Like I said, it probably was the best match I ever saw him wrestle. So, but yeah, no, just top to bottom up front of that card, and that flip. You didn't have, but I thought the best thing on the show was Flip and Bully Ray, and I thought that having less distractions allowed that to shine a lot more.
I agree it was the best. I mean, I don't know that it would have changed anything from my perspective if PCO or somebody had debuted. When the lights went out, I was wondering, are they going to surprise us with somebody? And it turned out to be Sandman, which made sense because he had been part of a previous angle. I really give them credit for that. I thought, you know, Bully Ray, obviously, his fingerprints all over it. He puts heat on himself all year long, and people are grumbling about it. The guy's a hell of a heel. The guy can do nothing, just look at a crowd and draw heat. I don't think he gets enough credit. I think there's still too many people hung up on what Ring of Honor should be, and their vision for it doesn't include a Bully Ray. He helped get Flip Gordon over. Yes, he put a ton of heat on himself all year long, and then when it came time for him to basically, you know, put over everyone else he had gotten heat on, he did it. You know, I just thought that they told a great story there, and the fans loved it. I don't know where some of the complaints about Bully come from when it comes to what he's done in Ring of Honor so far.
Yeah, when the lights went off, I had a small part of me was thinking, oh, no, it's Tommy Dreamer, isn't it? But I thought that Bully Ray, and it was a great surprise to have the Sandman show, but I thought that Bully Ray, so like at one point, Flip Gordon would be considered, like his gimmick, the flip meter. He was the flippy guy. The new Flip Gordon, I would say, is probably like Sammy Guevara, who he's less like someone who does a lot of flips, but that's his thing. He flips a lot. They told that story with the Flip Gordon is all out thing, friendship with Randy Rhodes, feud with Cody, and then just Bully Ray terrorizing him, and then they're also allowing you to sympathize with him through his military background. They turn Flip Gordon from the flippy guy to a character that you can invest in and sell a really good, compelling pro wrestler. The next level, he leveled up, if you per se.
Yeah, he has an edge now, because he was the pretty boy newcomer who could do all the flashy flips and things, and now a lot of it was a playback on the Tommy Dreamer angle back in the day, and how they got him over with all the kendo, the whole thank you sir, may I have another. And it was different enough, but there were certainly elements of that. I think Bully did a great job there. What did you think of Jay Lethal and Cody? I've heard very mixed reviews of that match.
I thought the match was good. It was like lots of old school heel tricks. You had Brandi Rhodes getting the interference in there. I thought it was a good, just like traditional, because Cody went for heel, he turned the crowd at the beginning with a crowd that was cheering him no matter what. And I thought that was great. So it set him up as a heel. Jay Lethal had good matches that get underrated a lot of times. And I just thought this was a good overall match. There was, the one weird spot was the Hangman Page showing up.
Yes.
And doing whatever he was doing. I don't know, because that led to nothing. It was like, okay. He gave him the belt, and belt.
For those who didn't see the show, I think the idea was they were doing a screw job, because I didn't catch it, but I know, now Don Murphy. How can I forget Don? He's a .NET member who was at the show, and he pointed out afterward that yes, the bell did ring. I think I struggle with my hearing to pick up the bell.
No, I heard the bell. I heard the bell ring too. Oh, so here we're going to Montreal screw job type, but then you had Todd Sinclair just straight up protested. So that's why I didn't get the screw job, the feeling out of it.
Yeah, I felt like that was overbooked. Like it didn't need to be there. Like because it didn't lead to anything. It wasn't like there was any controversy. It was like it happened, and then they just went right back to wrestling anyway. So it didn't really. No one seemed like they were buying into it. So basically, it's just the bell rang, and Adam Page, he was the one who rang the bell. He handed the belt to Cody like this was like the match was over, but it wasn't. They just went right back to it. This is nitpicky. I guess I just don't need to see Jay Lethal performing all the suicide dives in every match. I think Jay's great. That's if there's one thing I could eliminate, it would be that. I just he's going for another suicide dive. Usually it's three, and in this match, I think he wanted to do five or something like that. He just wouldn't stop doing suicide dives. It doesn't. It's cool when you see it once, and then when it's just like he's going to keep doing it. It doesn't get better for me.
Yeah, it's. But I always think of these days the suicide dive. Even though it's supposed to be a big deal, it's sadly become a filler move for a lot of wrestlers. The only suicide dives that really stand out are if they can really make it very unique. But I agree. But I never said he shouldn't, because I kind of forget that he throws so many suicide dives out there.
Now, this would be blasphemy to some. I have the same feeling when Tanahashi does multiple high fly flows. Like, one's enough.
Oh.
I know. Here's my internet wrestling card. I'll turn it in now. I guess the question coming out of Final Battle, as we turn the page into 2019, we've made it this far without getting into any spoilers regarding the TV taping. It's not that there's a ton there. People know, it was well established that PCO and Brody King were showing up, and it's how they used, and we'll just kind of avoid talking about that. But knowing that, okay, so Jeff Cobb is a recent signee, and they've elevated him into the TV title champion role, and I think they've done really nice work with him in short order. But PCO's there, Brody King is there, Bandito's coming in. Sounds like they're going to have access to Zack Sabre Jr. a little bit more. How well is ROH set up? How well are they equipped to handle the losses now of the elite members that they're losing, and also SCU, and also, I mean, they've already lost Punishment Martinez. Is this a big step back year for Ring of Honor, or is it, no, things are going to be seamless, they're going to be fine?
No, and I think that they should not get shaken up and try to produce new stars. I thought, and I to go back to Final Battle, I thought they did a good job in that show to elevate a Jeff Cobb and a Flip Gordon to be some of their next showcase stars that you can build around. Bully Ray can continue to be that anchor heel. I mean, Bully Ray is an older wrestler, but it's a wonder. I think of him better now than ever since his Bubba Ray Dudley days. So you have Bully Ray there, able to anchor the heel, just the top heel there. You just bring in stars and continue to try to, you know, elevate. I think they can handle it well as long as they don't get overdo things. And like, well, one thing I don't want to see too much, is faction wars. I don't think you could do that because Bullet Club's gone. But
yeah.
That's the one thing I don't want to see.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not big on the faction war stuff either. It's like, well, but New Japan does it. Well, yeah, great. I mean, it feels like ROH has six-man titles because New Japan decided to have six-man titles.
I always forget that they have six-man titles.
Yeah, I wish I could permanently. They just don't mean anything. But I think it's a half-step back here. I think naturally there's going to be, you know, this is also the company that's running Madison Square Garden sold-out show with New Japan in April. So, that's a huge thing. That's not a half step back by any means. But from that, I don't know that you can expect them to draw those types of numbers or anything like that in any other. I mean, a lot of it is it's Mania weekend, and it's ROH and New Japan's first time at the Garden. Those are big factors. So I think they're going to have to take a little step back. Because you're losing star power. Cody and the Bucks clearly meant something. They meant a lot to that promotion. And to lose them, well, you have to replace them. And it's not ROH is in trouble, my God, we might as well shut down. No, not at all. But I just don't know that you can attempt to run the bigger events. I mean, the tickets are all sold for the MSG show, and most of people... some of the people probably assume Cody and the Bucks would be there. I think word had kind of leaked that don't know for sure about this amongst the fans who are going. But, I think naturally you lose talent like that, you're going to have to replace them. And they brought in some interesting names. The thing I really want to see from them in 2019 is a youth movement. Not you can't feature Bully Ray and PCO's there, and obviously they're going to do things with him. It's not that those folks need to go away by any means. It's that I want to see them get back to what they were, where you find the bright young stars. You start beating WWE's NXT division to the punch on some talent. You go out there and you get aggressive and you figure out that, hey, this person might be a year away, but if we can bring this person in, And that person can grow while they're on our roster. And you know, if we sign them to a three-year deal or something like that, and maybe it takes a year for things to click, look at those 2 years we're going to get out of that person. Get back to that. Go find the elite talent that they did so well, especially when Gabe Sapolsky was running the company. Flip Gordon's been a nice signing, but there's just not as many of those in ROH these days. I think some of it is just it's a really tough landscape out there. With Impact, MLW, obviously, you know, WWE, so many people going for talent, but I'm hoping that Ring of Honor can do some of that, John.
Yeah, no, it's finding the right talent out there. PCO is over 50, isn't he?
yes, he is, yeah.
Yeah, no, so that's not helping, like, the youth movement thing, but at the same time, no, it's just... you can go out, you can make stars yourself, people who aren't getting as much play. I mentioned like a Sammy Guevara before. You could get someone like someone who appeared in Lucha Underground last season, Exolicious. who is someone you can really elevate to a high level. Bring in like a Jack Evans who's like floating around doing. I don't know what he's doing these days. If he's still in Mexico or whatever. But yeah, he's someone you can drop in. He's again an older guy, but. So what? Just find someone who isn't locked down to some company or dragged in by NXT.
Yeah, I hope they will start to become better about finding those young talent. And, you know, hey, PCO, he'll be 51 here in a couple of weeks. Get what you can out of him and then use him to put somebody else or one of your younger talents over. You know, use those stars the way that Bully Ray ultimately ended up putting over Flip Gordon. I think that's the best use you can get out of some of these veteran names. You're going to do what you can with them, by all means. I think they did good business with Bully Ray. And then when the time is right, he elevates somebody. That's the thing. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. I think this has kind of woken up a company that kind of just... I don't know that Ring of Honor wants to be more than it is. You know, they could have made stronger plays if they could have got the corporate office to break the bank to keep Cody and the Bucks and Paige and everybody they're losing. I mean, they really could have, but I don't know that Sinclair Broadcast Group wants to invest huge money into Ring of Honor, and so you get what you get. And so this company may never try to go out and become a definitive strong number two, even though I think they played that role at least in the U.S. For a time now. I just don't know that they want to be bigger than what they are. I'm sure there's people in the company who want them to be, but when the corporate management only is willing to give you so much of a budget and things, well, you know, you are what you are. But I do think it's woken up creative. I think there's been some shakeup there, and I look forward to seeing what they can do in 2019. But, John, the most important thing in the world right now, at least for you and one other person, it's my understanding that you and Jake Barnett have advanced to the finals of the Dirt Sheet Fantasy Football League?
Yes. I believe Will calls it the Dirty, Dirty Dirt Sheets. Yes, I did over this past weekend beat Greg Parks of the Torch.
And
he had one of those unfortunate where he had Melvin Gordon. And yes, Melvin Gordon got hurt. And Saquon Barkley had a bad day of the one bad day of the entire year Saquon Barkley had. I didn't have a great day, but I do have a pretty decent team. Like, I'm running Todd Gurley, Joe Mixon. I'm glad I benched Leonard Fournette that night. but Jake's been putting on some good games the last 2 weeks. He beat Will Pruitt. Jake didn't have a bye week, but he's been having, this is the second round. Okay, but yes, he beat Will Pruitt and I forget who else. We're in the finals.
So I mentioned this to Jake last night, and I don't want to stir the pot, I do. But he, you know, pointed out that, like, I think if your teams had met this week, you would have lost by like 60 some points. So, would you like to fire back? Would you like to respond to Jake Barnett?
I think it was more like 20. Because I had
okay.
it one. I had it one. It was a 60 point difference at one point. But Todd Gurley because I had the game won already, but Todd Gurley and Robert Woods didn't play yet. So. They gave me extra points, and it ended up being like more like 20. But I will go with may the best man win because I don't want to go in there because Jake does have a good team running right now. With the offensive coordinator change, Jake's running Dalvin Cook, and they're giving Dalvin Cook the ball more. I am more confident to run Stephon Diggs in that case, but we'll look at that when that comes. But I was in the finals last year in that league against Will Pruitt. So this year I'm against Jake. And hopefully I don't end up like my hometown Dodgers, where Mr. LA just shows up in the finals and loses every year.
Well, hey, all I know is this will be then 2 years in a row. It's been an all.net finals. I clearly, I'm not in this league, but we are dominant. Suck it, Torch, and any other website that's in this. Yeah, I feel good about this. So you were taking – I see what you're doing here because I do the same thing when it comes to fantasy football. I'm not a trash talker. I'm one that just sits I my brother's got a kick-ass team in my league this year, my main league, and he was getting cocky, and I'm like, dude, just enjoy it, but don't get cocky, kid, because you can lose easily in the playoffs, and then you got nothing. I said, wait till you actually win it. So have all the fun once you win it, but don't mess with the fantasy karma before then. That's always been my – don't just sandbag it, whatever, but don't get all cocky and mouth off before you actually win something, because I believe in fantasy karma, and so I always try to do right. Didn't get me anywhere this year. I had a miserable year in fantasy football by my usual pretty good standards. But at any rate, John, thank you so much for joining me. Anything you want to plug, Twitter, anything like that before we call this a day?
Sure. No, you can check out my written reviews of all the written reviews I do for the site. I do a couple hit lists too. Like NXT, I review Impact live. Not live. I don't do Impact. I'm not gonna do it for the next 2 weeks. They're in best on mode, aren't they?
Oh, come on! Now. I order you to sit through 2 hours of best. No, I'm kidding.
I don't want to make that joke. But like the best. I mean, the Impact had some good things, so hopefully that's the best though. But I am curious to see what they say is the best of their year, despite the year not being good at points.
The Undead Realm number one.
What?
You don't think the Undead Realm is going to be number one?
Oh. I went to the that's why I went to the Impact show a couple of weeks ago. They ran Tessa Blanchard versus Kira Hogan. I was so happy for at least one night to see Kira Hogan out of the Undead Realm because that match was great and Kira Hogan can be utilized so much better on their roster. But they have all these good wrestlers trapped in some weird melodramatic. Because it's not just the cinematics is where it's the way that they have them acting. Oof. Oh yeah, we went on an Undead Realm tangent, but yeah, no. Check out my Impact reviews to know my views on the Undead Realm. But yes, no, I also do hit lists for 205 Live and NXT as well. And also, you can find me on Twitter at LittleJohnM. That's LiljohnM.
All right, John. Thank you so much. Best of luck in the big .NET showdown. With Jake Barnett. That's going to do it for us today. I've made it through. The cold medication actually worked. My nose would not stop running. I am a hero. But all kidding aside, if everything stays as is, and I'm feeling pretty confident after making it through this show, I will be the guest on Wade Keller's Pro Wrestling Podcast. That one will be available on Thursday. I know Jake Barnett is going to be on Wade's show Tuesday night coming out of SmackDown. Do a search for Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast to hear about those shows. I will also have the details on the ProWrestling.net website. Again, PWMembership.net is the place to go if you are interested in ProWrestling.net membership, the ad-free version of the website, all that audio content I told you about, and don't forget the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Usually it comes out on Wednesdays. This week might be pushed back to Thursday just because of the illness and all these things. And so I think I was going to do it tomorrow. I'm coming to give my voice a rest so I can do Wade's show. And then Nick and I are tentatively scheduled to get together on Thursday. Nick Perkins will be joining me, the newest .NET staffer. If you haven't checked out his fine work, I definitely encourage it. Nick is killing it, doing a great job. So be sure to check out Nick Perkins, his various blogs at ProWrestling.net, and again on the Boom, all sorts of interview guests. Conan was my most recent guest, a fun conversation. I've known Conan going on two decades, I have a horrible memory, but I can't imagine I just forgot this story. He told the story of how he got into the pro wrestling industry. I was stunned. It's quite the story, and it's just a part of the fun. Again, check it out. Just search for Pro Wrestling Boom on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get your podcasts, and give that show some love. Subscribe. Give us the 5-star love. All that good stuff. I would appreciate it. Members, you will hear me later on tonight coming out of WWE Raw. You can follow my live coverage, whether you're a member or not, at ProWrestling.net. It should be an interesting night. The old man is going to appear. And you're going to shake things up. So until then, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Take care.